Please rise for the call to worship. The wait is over. God's unexpected gift is here. Wise men and women are doing foolish things, like following stars. Kings are fearing and fighting for their power by waging violence. Ordinary shepherds are living extraordinary lives. Common folk, they hear the angels sing. The wait is over. Christmas is here. Come, let us worship our God, the God of Jesus Christ, who knows us all, the lost sheep, the found coins, the hidden treasure, the miraculous catch, all of us, all the people, beloved of God.
Sisters and brothers, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The Prince of Peace is finally here. The angels proclaim his coming. The shepherds honor him in the stable. And wise men, they have traveled from afar. And so what can we do here to celebrate and recognize the gift of his birth? I think we can do no better than to share in his gift of peace. Let us share that peace that it may grow and spread. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another. When you have spread enough peace to make the baby Jesus happy, you may be seated. Friends, in the name of Christ, whose table this is and whose body we are, I bid you welcome. Welcome to those of you who are hungry, for here at this very table you will be fed. Welcome to those of you who are tired or worn out, for here the songs of angels will lift you up. Welcome to those who come burdened with questions or doubts, for here we will ask questions and we will pray for answers. Welcome to those seeking meaning and hope, for here we are met by Christ himself. Welcome to angel and to shepherd, to the wise and to the foolish, to the local and to the foreigner. Welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and we are very glad that you are here. I have a couple of announcements to make this morning, but if anyone else has an announcement, I would welcome you to come at this point and gather at the microphone so that you might be ready to go as well. The first announcement I have is about our pew cards. If you are new here, please recognize there are pew cards in each and every pew. Fill them out. Let me know how to get a hold of you so that I might. Second, I want you to take out your bulletin right now. I want you to take a look at page 4. God knows I'm not a perfect person, but I don't want you to think that I'm screwing up in worship. We actually screwed up when we made the bulletin. After the prayers, we will go straight into communion so that the choir may take communion down amongst the congregation. So don't worry, we will take the offering. It will come a little bit later, but if you somehow think that we have forgotten, trust me, we have not. We will still call for the offering later in the service. I want to let you know of two other things. One, we will be having a new member class. We call them Connections classes on Saturday, January 25th from 9:30 until 12:30. If you are thinking about membership here and want to know more about what it means to be a member, what it doesn't mean to be a member, and what it might look like to be part of this place, please let me know. Childcare will be available for that, and we will end our time together with a light lunch of pizza. You'll be getting an email shortly about it as well, but feel free to let me know if you're interested in attending. There's information about that in your announcements. Finally, one last announcement that I will try not to say with my smile reaching from ear to ear. But tomorrow morning, as soon as Jake gets up, as soon as he has his bottle, as soon as we dress him in warm clothes, John and I are leaving on vacation. We are leaving for 2 weeks. We are smart people, so we are going north for our vacation. We are going to Maine. I will tell you this. I am not intending. Nancy will be able to get a hold of me. I will not be checking email or voicemail. So if there is something that you need desperately to get a hold of me, please work through Nancy, and she will know how to reach me. While I'm gone, I'm leaving you in very, very good hands. Next Sunday, worship will be led by the Reverend John Edgerton. He is, without question, one of the brightest young stars in the United Church of Christ. He is the associate minister at Old South Church in Boston. He will be here. He is a fantastic preacher. He will be here to lead worship, and he will celebrate here with his wife, Heather, and hopefully many of you will be here. And then you will be in the great hands of Rick Floyd on the 19th of January. He will be leading worship while we are away. We will come back on the 21st. So friends, it is time that we move in to worship.
Hear now the Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Matthew. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Get up! Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene.
Please be seated. Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, God of all light and all life, send your Spirit down into this room that we may welcome its coming and celebrate the birth of a baby. God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they may swing gently and easily to welcome his coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it has been just about 10 days since people all across the earth came out in droves. Just about 10 days since we gathered here in this room on a cold and silent night to once again tell that perfect, timeless, weather-worn Christmas story. A story that never gets old, one that we can never get enough of. And as I think back to that Christmas Eve, it was an amazing night, wasn't it? The Christmas story is a story of a perfectly still and silent night, the story of a very young mother and young father who are turned away from the inn because there is no room for them. It is a story about stars and fields and angels, a stable filled with the grassy smell of fresh hay, a story of shepherds watching their flocks by night when something extraordinary happens, something miraculous happens, something unbelievable happens. A baby is born. A baby whose birth the angels had foretold, a child born of the Spirit, one who would be great, the prophets say, the child who would be called Son of the Most High, the child who would one day save the entire world. I don't know about you, but on that night, as we told that story again, the whole world outside of this room seemed to just fade away. We all slowed down for a bit. We talked about love. We lit candles, and we were content to just sit here and sing on that night. And for that moment, everything was so right, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but it's that kind of a moment that I want to hold on to forever, to revel in that quiet, silent night. We'd do anything to make that moment last. But here's what we know. The Christmas story itself won't let us. The story tells us that the shepherds went back to their fields. Angels went back to doing whatever it is angels do. The wise men, they went back, returned to the east. Joseph and Mary, you got to imagine it. They were finally settling into a routine. Maybe they were getting at least a couple hours of sleep anyway. And all too quickly, the dreamy haze of love and an infant's cooing is shattered by looming violence and the harsh realities of the world into which that tiny little baby was born. Good news is, we are not facing a lunatic king with an army at his disposal. But we are nonetheless here on this day facing the very last day of the Christmas season, the last day of silent night. I don't know for how many of you, but the Christmas tree in our house is already down. That source of life and light is gone from our living room. And if it still is up in your living room, well, my bet is it's slightly less green than it was, and my bet is there might be as many needles as there is snow outside underneath that tree. Our attention, our focus, and our gaze begin to turn back from the miraculous and the peaceful to the normal and the hectic, the everyday, the non-miraculous. And as the magic fades, as the decorations come down, it can feel like a bit of a letdown. The miracle of Christmas Eve and the silent night, the joy of love shared on Christmas Day, is replaced with a bit of fatigue. The world which had faded from sight comes back to look us straight in the eye. And we are left to figure out, how is it that we hold on to the magic of that night? Well, at least until next year, when we gather right here to tell that story all over again. But just as the miracle did not end with the departure of the angel, shepherd, and wise men, so too the miracle does not end today. The miracle, friends, it has just begun. C.S. Lewis said this about Christmas. C.S. Lewis said that Christmas is not a time of the year. It is not even a season. But Christmas is a way of living. And this morning's reading reminds us of just how true that is. It reminds us that when God's heart aches so badly to show us a better way, when God chose to save the world for all time, when God chose to do it in the most vulnerable, fragile, and tender way possible, God came down among us as a human baby. God didn't come riding chariots of fire in a blinding flash to brighten the darkest corners of the earth. God did not come with the whole heavenly host behind her to drive out and defeat the Herods of the world. God didn't come with lightning or thunder or fire. God came as one of us, a fragile, vulnerable, tiny little baby. Seems a little crazy, doesn't it? God, having seen the struggles of creation, having heard the cries of the people, decided to act, to offer the world peace and hope and love and reconciliation, to lead the people towards the promised land for all time. And God decided, in all of God's wisdom, to do it as a human child. And this morning we see how the Christmas story unfolds. No sooner had the angels faded from view than they are back. But this time with a very different message in Joseph's dream. Flee, get up, escape, run, for your life depends on it. For surely it does. God came into a world ruled by a king mad with jealousy, so consumed with fear that Herod would slaughter countless children to try to hold on to his earthly power. Into this comes the Savior of the world as a fragile baby. Perhaps the most miraculous, sense-defying thing about the whole Christmas story is not just that God came down to earth, which is pretty cool. Not just that God actually became one of us, which is pretty mind-blowing. Or not just that God came as a tiny little baby, which boggles any sense of logic. But the most miraculous thing of the whole thing is that God entrusted that bundle of love, the salvation of the entire world, to a young teenage couple who were neither rich nor powerful, neither worldly nor sophisticated, who came from a backwater town in Judea, who by all accounts were the most ordinary of the ordinary, and who, you have to admit, must have wondered just a bit at whether God really knew what God was doing, entrusting the hopes of all of creation to people like them. It's easy, isn't it, for us to imagine Mary and Joseph terrified, confused, the Savior of the world, cradled in their arms, being told to get up and flee to Egypt, lest the fragile hope of God succumb to Herod's rage. But the scriptures tell us this as well. Mary and Joseph, they were good people of God. They knew their faith. They knew the story. They knew that God has long worked and continues to work through ordinary and unextraordinary people. Joseph and Mary, they knew the story of Moses, who himself was saved from a murderous king while just an infant by a mother who put him in a basket of reeds and floated him down the river. They knew that that fragile baby was miraculously plucked from the water and grew up to lead God's people to freedom. They knew the story of David, right? A slingshot-wielding kid who was plucked from obscurity, all but forgotten by his earthly father, but chosen of God to become a king and to forge a nation. You see, this wasn't the first time that God acted in this way. This wasn't the first time that God had hung his hopes on unimportant, unsophisticated women and men. And Joseph and Mary, they knew it. They knew that the miracle of God's love hadn't started with them and wouldn't end with them either. And so it gave them the courage there in the middle of the night to somehow stand up and say, "Here I am." And now, just a couple of days after the story of the silent night, they are doing extraordinary things. They are running on foot through hostile territory with an army of killers on their heel. And God, wrapped in human flesh, was wrapped in the arms of Mary, all too regular of a person. And in those arms, Jesus was experiencing the very compassion, the very care, and the very nurture that he would one day teach the whole world. Like Moses before them, Mary and Joseph did not disappoint. Called to be caretakers of God's love in this world, these two ordinary people played an extraordinary role, tending the word and the love of God until Jesus was ready to bloom. Truth is, friends, if we tell the whole Christmas story,
It reminds us of how God has always chosen regular and ordinary people to bring hope, to nourish and protect the love of God, and help it until it is ready to change the world. And as Christians, we know the rest of this story, right? We know how Jesus grew up in the care of Mary and Joseph, two regular and ordinary people, and how Jesus brought hope and even salvation. So on this day, the last day of Christmas, as we turn to face the world, as we take down the Christmas tree and these decorations in this room, as we try to figure out how to hold on to the magic and miracle of Christmas, let us remember that the miracle of Christmas, after all, was not just that little baby in a manger on a silent night in a land far away and long ago, but that God, the author of the greatest story ever told, the one we know as all-knowing and wise, doesn't impose salvation on us. Instead, God trusts regular and ordinary people with a role to play that we might live into our salvation through God's ongoing support, guidance, and direction. The miracle of Christmas invites us, you and I, hate to say it, but thoroughly ordinary people, to remember the stories of those who have come before us, how God has chosen people just like us through the ages to nourish and protect the fragile gift of God, to protect love, hope, peace, and joy. There's a story in the Boston Globe not long ago of a boy named Rudy Favard. Rudy is 17 years old, just a few years older than Mary and Joseph. He studies at Malden Catholic in suburban Boston. He will tell you that he learned the value of service and love and care from his school and from the nuns who taught him there. I want to tell you about how that ordinary teenager is spreading God's hope and love in a most unique way. 4 nights a week, Rudy, who is a football player, leaves his homework and he drives 10 minutes to the home of the Parker family across town. The Parkers, you see, they have a son. He's named Sammy. Sammy has cerebral palsy. Sammy is the most fragile, vulnerable bundle of love you could ever see. The Parkers, they live in a 2-story home, and because neither Sammy's dad nor his mom can carry him up the stairs because of medical reasons, there is no way for Sammy to get to his bedroom. So Rudy, 4 nights a week, goes over to this family that he had never met before. And Rudy, he gathers up Sammy in his arms, just like Mary held Jesus. But that's not the end. Rudy carries Sammy up the stairs and stays with Sammy for a little while each night. He cares for Sammy. He nourishes him. And even though Sammy can't verbally express his thanks, those who are in the room will tell you that Sammy lights up like a Christmas tree each time he sees Rudy. And the Parkers, they have hope again. They have love again. A most ordinary teenager, just a couple of years older than Mary and Joseph, heard God's calling to service, and he is doing extraordinary things. The miracle of Christmas, after all, is a way of life. It is not a story or even a season. And so as we turn to look the world in the eye after another miraculous Christmas, we too are called to remember the stories. We too are called to hear God's call in our own lives, to stand up like Rudy did, like Mary did, like Joseph did, and simply say nothing other than, "Here I am." To nourish the fragile gift of love in our own time and risk doing something extraordinary, being part of the unfolding story between God and creation. A story, friends, that never gets old. A story that we can never get enough of. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And so once again, we gather together as the body of Christ. We gather to share our joys and concerns. Here we lift up our joys and concerns out loud so that we might pray for them here in this space and so that we might take them with us during the week to come. And so I ask you, what joys and what concerns are on your hearts and minds this morning? Yes, Tristan. We keep your mother in our prayers as she is now on oxygen to help her breathe. We keep Andy, who is going to be having heart surgery in January in Connecticut, in our prayers. Yes, Joyce. We had a beautiful wedding here. You might notice that they have left some beautiful things behind, these decorations along here. But Heather Murray and Steve Latin were married here yesterday, and it was a joyful time. We give thanks and wish blessings on their marriage. Jackie. Oh, absolutely. We give thanks for your mother in large part because she gave birth to you, but we also give thanks that she has turned 100. Other joys and concerns, yes. Well, the joy of having me here is matched only by the joy of John and I in being here. You have welcomed us so kindly and lovingly, and we could not imagine being happier. Senta. We keep your friend in our prayers who has walked away from her job of 28 years because of discrimination in the workplace. We keep Laura and Anne and your mother in our prayers. And who else did you say? I'm sorry. Great. Wonderful. We give thanks for Jake and his 5 months with us. Amen. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Glenn. And when was Sarah born? Glenn's grandniece Sarah was born 2 weeks ago. We give thanks and joy for that. And mother and daughter are doing fine. Great. With all of these joys and these concerns floating in the air, let us take a time of silence to let them seep into our hearts and into our minds. Now we break our silence, trusting all of these prayers into your loving care, God. We break our silence in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together and out loud, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So will you help me tell the story? Here's what I know. I know that on the night that Jesus gave his life for us, he gathered his closest friends. He gathered his chosen family. He gathered his disciples around this very table. And what did Jesus do? He took bread. And what did he do with that bread? Before he broke it, he did something. He gave thanks for that bread. He blessed that bread, and then he broke it. And what did he say? This is my body broken for you. Take and do this in remembrance of me. Absolutely. And after supper, he then took the cup. And he lifted that cup up before them. And what did he do? He gave thanks. He blessed it. And what did he say to them? This is the part where it may get slightly different, so don't worry. Go ahead and shout it out. What did he say to them? This is my blood. What else did the story says he said? This is the cup of the new covenant. And what is the purpose of this blood, this cup of the new covenant? Why has it been shed? For the forgiveness of sins. He said, take and drink, all of you, and do it. Well done. You have told the story well. Now let us bless the food that is on this table. I invite you to raise your hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and imagine your love pouring out and dripping over the heads in front of you and landing here on this table. Let us bless this food. Loving and creating God, send your spirit down upon this meal. Send it deep into this bread, and may it dive deeply into the cup, that this meal may come for us a holy meal, that we may experience God's presence and Christ's presence at this very table, that this food might nourish us and sustain us to face the world and live into your love. And let us all say, amen. The story actually didn't end around this table. Just in case you were not quite sure whether you were welcome at this table or not, we need to remember that around that table on that night was one who was going to betray Jesus. There was one around that table who was going to deny Jesus not once but three times, and every single person around that table was going to fall asleep on Jesus in his greatest time of need and flee from him on the day of his crucifixion. Jesus knew it. And yet he shared that meal with them. So surely, if he shared this meal with them, he would share this meal with the likes of you and I. A few things you need to know about communion here at this church. This bread is a gluten-free bread. This cup contains no alcohol, so that there may be no barriers between those who are hungry and this meal. Our deacons will bring this meal to you. You're invited to serve one another the bread first as it passes, and then hold on to that bread, for we will eat together as one body. Likewise way, they will bring around the cup afterwards, and we will drink in the goodness together. Friends, this is the meal of God, and it has been made for the people of God, and that is you. Come, for all things are now ready.
Friends, go forth to love and serve God. Go forth in joy and thanksgiving. Go forth to do the work of Christmas. And go in peace, knowing that the Prince of Peace goes with you every step of the way. And let all the people say, Amen.